and gentlemen, welcome to the Atlas Mara's third quarter results conference call. The management will start by talking you through a brief presentation that is available to download from the results center on their website, atlasmara.com. After the presentation, they will take questions. I will now hand over to Mr. John Vitalo, CEO, to start the call.
Operator, thank you. To everyone, thank you for joining us on this third quarter results call. Together with me today are Bob Diamond and Ashish Thakkar, who, as you know, are our co-founders, Irina McDonald, Chief Financial Officer, and Brad Gibbs, a member of our executive committee. You'll have seen we issued our Q3 results announcement earlier today. We've placed a presentation on our website, atlasmara.com, which will form the basis for our discussion this morning. Before beginning, I'd turn your attention to the disclaimer on page one, which we'll treat as read and acknowledged. Slide two presents the agenda for the call. We're going to run through the presentation, and then we'll open up the lines for questions. The objectives of this call are to provide an overview of our year-to-date performance, give you an update on selected initiatives we believe are representative of our efforts on the ground, and further color on our recently announced M&A activities. Right now, I'm going to hand over to Bob and Ashish to make some opening remarks.
Thank you, John. Ashish and I are in Oslo today. Both of us are here to attend and speak at the Nordic Fricken Business Summit. I will tell you, this is a fantastic event. Ashish just came off the stage, having given a very nice keynote presentation. I go on in about 10 or 15 minutes to do a presentation on why investors should be investing in banks in Africa, and more specifically, when they do, why that bank should be Atlas Mara. This is a great event, 400-plus attendees, investors from all around the Nordic community focused on Africa. It's a great opportunity for us. When I last spoke to all of you, it was for our six-month results in August. I talked then about three things. First, execution, execution, execution. How the team had performed actually running a bank. Higher loans, higher deposits, better deposit margins, higher deposits, lower non-performing loans, better coverage of non-performing loans, better recoveries. Those kinds of results are continued today. The second thing that I talked about was that we were very focused on two to three key transactions in geographies where we were already present but did not have the scale or presence that we ultimately wanted. Third, we talked about the difficulty because of those transactions of being prohibited from doing transactions in our underlying shares. Well, today the themes are similar. The first is around continued execution. Irina will give you more color on the third quarter numbers. The second is that we announced deals in Rwanda and Zambia, two geographies where we have already been present, two geographies now where we can potentially be in the top tier. Importantly, the announcement today, since we're no longer prohibited, that management, the founders, and the firm have been approved to execute a buyback program. John will give you more details on that. It's wonderful to be on this call. It's even better to be a part of this fantastic organization, Atlas Mara. There are headwinds in the market, and we think that those headwinds provide even greater opportunity for us to continue the execution, execution, execution toward becoming the leading financial services firm in sub-Saharan Africa. With that, I hand you over to my partner, Ashish Thakkar.
Thank you, Bob. Greetings from Oslo, from the Nordic African Business Summit. As Bob said, it is a fantastic conference, and we're really pleased to be here positioning the sector, the continent, and more specifically, Atlas Mara. If I can turn you to slide four, I would like to touch on a few points. To build on Bob's points, the team remains intensely focused on execution, execution, execution. I will let John and Irina discuss the details, but the number of initiatives in progress and bearing fruit is really encouraging. particularly with respect to the implementation of numerous technology initiatives, in specific cases in partnerships with government, such as our e-voucher and prepaid card programs in Zambia. Secondly, our announcement of the signing of the definitive documentation in relation to BPR in Rwanda is another really exciting milestone. The combined BPR and BRD commercial will be the second largest bank in Rwanda by assets. Thirdly, our potential acquisition of Finance Bank in Zambia is representative of our optimism regarding Zambia's long-term prospects and, as with BPR, consistent with our strategy to operate Tier 1 banks in all of our countries of operation. Pending signing and closing, our combined operations in Zambia will be the fifth largest bank in the country in terms of assets. And finally, as Bob mentioned, you will have noted that the company, having now exited its closed period, has reinitiated its share purchase program, and both selected members of management and Bob and I will similarly be aiming to acquire shares in the market, underscoring our continued confidence in Atlas Mara's prospects. We are just getting started. I will now turn it back to John.
Thanks, Ashish. So having discussed our strategy and business model extensively in the past, I'd like to take the opportunity now to provide some flavor with respect to selected initiatives on which our teams have been working intensively. Turning to slide 5, we've highlighted our partnership with Puma Energy in connection with offering branded fuel cards in the first instance in Zambia. As you may know, Puma Energy is a global midstream and downstream-oriented energy company. It's got operations across 45 countries, including 18 African countries, and revenues in excess of $13 billion. And in Zambia, in particular, Puma Energy operates 57 retail sites. So Puma Energy and Bank ABC, part of Atlas Mara, have created a specialized co-branded chip and PIN fuel card. And what this does is it creates a win-win-win for Puma Energy, Puma's customers, and Bank ABC. Puma Energy customers, such as business owners and fleet managers, no longer have to sort through piles of receipts or signature books to reconcile fuel expenses. Puma Energy benefits from the enhanced B2B product offering and the associated loyalty benefits and volumes, and Bank ABC benefits not only from the transaction volumes, but also importantly, the data which can be leveraged to enhance Bank ABC's ability to bank Puma Energy and its ecosystem of customers and partners going forward. And we showcase this for you because it's exactly the type of technology-led innovation that we expect to continue to foster across our banks. Turning to page 6, you'll recall the statements we made with respect to the progress at Bank ABC in relation to our digital strategy, as well as the rollout of our rebranding. And so on this page, we highlight some of the initial functionality and the related marketing campaign for our mobile banking offering. We'll launch mobile banking across our Southern African platform in November. We remain excited about the potential that our digital initiatives represent, and we view this step as only the beginning. Turning to slide 7, you'll recall our previous announcement that we were in exclusive discussions with BPR, Banque Populaire, in Rwanda in relation to an injection of capital and a subsequent merger of BPR with our first acquisition in Rwanda, BRD Commercial. Well, we are pleased to have announced that definitive documentation has now been signed, and we expect to close before year-end, subject to the satisfaction of remaining conditions precedent, notably regulatory approvals. This transaction represents a step change in terms of our presence in Rwanda and, importantly, the broader East African community. The combined entity will be the second largest bank in Rwanda by assets and the largest by branch locations. The combined BPR-BRD commercial will have a nicely diversified loan and deposit base and a customer roster exceeding 400,000. And in parallel with the transaction negotiations, we've been undertaking a substantial amount of work around integration And upon completion of the transaction, we expect to hit the ground running. As in the case of FBZ, this acquisition is consistent with our goal of being a scale participant in our countries of operation. On slide 8, as you no doubt saw in our RNS this morning, we are pleased to announce that we're in discussions to acquire Finance Bank of Zambia, or FBZ, Zambia's sixth largest bank by assets. FBZ is a 30-year-old independent Zambian bank. And as the table in the lower left-hand side of the page illustrates, the bank has a solid track record of growth and very strong margins and returns. The business is nicely balanced across sectors, and as per the chart on the lower right, FBZ's branch network is well distributed across the country with a strong presence in Lusaka. On slide 9, we detail selected terms of the potential transaction as well as the underlying rationale. We would acquire FBZ for approximately $60 million in cash and 2.6 million Atlas Mara shares, subject to various contingent elements. And the initial consideration would represent a price to book of circa 1.3 times. Upon completion of this deal and merger of FBZ with our existing Zambian operations, the combined entity would be Zambia's largest bank by branches and fifth largest bank by assets. As was mentioned earlier, this potential acquisition is consistent with our strategic goal to be a scale participant in our markets of operation. We've spoken about that with you before. While we recognize the current macroeconomic headwinds facing Zambia, we remain optimistic about the country's long-term prospects, and we see value creation opportunities from the merger of FBZ with our existing Zambian operations. And upon signing of definitive documentation and subject to conditions precedent, we would expect to close the transaction in first quarter 2016. Following on my last comment with respect to scale, I thought it would be useful on slide 10 to highlight the current and pro forma market positions of Atlas Mara in selected markets. And as you can see from this chart, upon completion of the BRD, BPR, and the FBZ transactions, we will be amongst the top five participants in four of the six countries in which we wholly own our operations. We continue to believe that sub-Saharan African banking is a scale business because with scale comes a more competitive cost of funds, more effective pricing of risk assets, operating leverage, and enhanced returns. We are pleased with the progress we've made. We look forward to keeping the market apprised as we continue to execute transactions to enhance our footprint. I will now turn the call over to our CFO, Irina McDonald, to discuss our year-to-date financial performance.
Good day, everyone, and welcome again to the Atlas Mara third quarter 2015 earnings release. During my discussion of these third quarter results, I will focus on four key themes. Firstly, I will reflect on our continued operational execution of the businesses acquired towards the end of 2014. Secondly, I will touch on the progress regarding non-performing loan recoveries in the acquired NPL book and our overall focus on improving asset quality. The third theme will focus on profitability in terms of revenue growth opportunities, improving margins, and managing expenses within our control. Number four will be the continued selective pursuance of compelling new acquisition targets. On slide 11 of the investor presentation, we reflect the resilient performance achieved during the third quarter of 2015, notwithstanding continued meaningful currency headwinds. Tighter macroeconomic conditions, coupled with a particularly jaundiced sentiment towards emerging markets at present. I'd like to give emphasis to the results for the period ending September 2015 in terms of the adjusted net operating profit of $23.7 million reflecting a positive delta of some $37 million year over year compared to the pro forma results for September 2014. As a reminder, the pro forma results present a comparable set of prior year financial results, assuming the acquisitions were consummated on the 1st of January 2014 versus the effective transaction date of 31st August and 31st October respectively. This adjusted profit calculation is used as a proxy to reflect the developing nature of Atlas Mara's business and to better reflect the actual cost base required to sustain the current operating businesses on a continued basis going forward. Although there is no real peer comparison for Atlas Mara at present, we believe this is a fairer basis of comparison for our financial metrics against other multi-jurisdictional banking groups doing business across sub-Saharan Africa. Atlas Mara at present continues its activities around a focused acquisition growth strategy, whilst at the same time being a truly operating banking group, not to mention the concurrent spend on new and innovative technology offerings to support future diversified income streams. Including expenditure relating to M&A transactions and other one-off costs aimed to strengthen the underlying businesses, the IFRS reported profit is at $7.1 million year-to-date compared to a loss year-over-year of around $38.7 million on a pro forma basis. Holding currency constant to prior periods, total revenue grew by 20.6% year-on-year. Expenses remained flat year-over-year with an adjusted cost-to-income ratio of 79.9% compared to 88.5% for the prior period under review. As indicated on this slide, the key metrics of return on equity and return on assets have both improved when compared to pro forma prior year results, although we would be first to acknowledge that further improvements are key in order to deliver on our medium-term committed financial targets of, to name a few, 20% return on equity, 2% return on assets, and a cost-to-income ratio of between 60 to 65%. Turning to slide 12 of the presentation, I'd like to make a few comments around the segmental business performance. Most notably would be that all of the segments, grouped as Southern, East and West, have reported a profit on a September year-to-date basis despite the currency headwinds and persisting tougher economic realities at play. Management is focused on controlling expenditure. At the same time, there is a need to balance this discipline with investments required by our businesses to support our growth objectives, be it in people, systems, or processes, all to ensure sustainable increases in reported earnings. Slide 13 reflects on the geographic distribution of the consolidated loan books. The graph on the lower left-hand side of slide 13 shows Botswana being the biggest, representing around 40% of the consolidated loan book, followed by Zimbabwe at 29%, Mozambique at 13%, with Zambia, Tanzania and Rwanda representing the balance in almost equal parts. Post concluding on the announced and prospective acquisitions that John has referred to in his discussion earlier, the composition of our loan book post-consolidation of these entities by geography would put Zambia in first place and Rwanda in fourth. The top left graph on this page shows an almost equal contribution by client segment for customer loans and advances on a consolidated basis. Retail now constitutes around 51% and corporate and SMEs 49% in total. The graph on the right-hand side of slide 13 shows an ongoing improvement on a key lever to drive profitability, reducing the cost of funding. At the same time, net interest margin shows a positive sequential quarterly trend, and as of September 2015, the net interest margin on earning assets, on average, were around 6%. With reference to my previous comment on cost management and focusing on achieving positive jaws, the further lever of improving our net interest margins amplifies the positive effect on profitability. I'd also like to comment, in terms of the funding of the loan book, that we share some optimism around early successes achieved through the newly emphasized business strategy of gathering lower cost liabilities. The growth in the contribution of cheaper retail deposits to the overall funding pool from 13% in mid-2014 to 19% as at September 2015 shows delivery in action on this initiative. Turning to slide 14 now, and focusing on the restructuring, resolution and recovery of non-performing loans acquired through the Bank ABC acquisition that continues unabated. On a year-to-date basis, NPL recoveries total $17.5 million. This income provides necessary funding towards the continued strengthening of our businesses during our current protect phase of our business strategy. The graph on slide 14 shows provision coverage for the third quarter of 2015 to be at 54.7% compared to 25.2% for the quarter 3 2014 period. As the graph further shows, during September, NPLs have ticked up slightly, mostly in Zimbabwe and Mozambique's retail book. These are closely being monitored with continued follow-up on recovery processes. Pausing on slide 15 with a couple of key highlights around our investment in Union Bank of Nigeria. UBN released its year-to-date September results to the market this Tuesday on 27 October. In constant currency terms, profit grew by 15.5% year-over-year, total assets by 9.6% and total liabilities by 7.9%. The UBN results also reflect improvements in the credit loss ratio and in the return on assets metric. Even with local currency pressures and macroeconomic challenges, the quarter 3 2015 results of UBN remain encouraging, contributing $15.1 million of associate income to Atlas Mara on a year-to-date basis. Representative of their multi-year transformation program, UBN has recently unveiled a refreshed brand, highlighting the modernization of the institution as it aims to address Nigeria's young emerging middle class. I'd like to make some comments on capital matters. Our focus on compliance with all local regulatory rules remains a key priority. At quarter end 2015, all of our operating banks are compliant with local capital adequacy rules, including our internally agreed capital buffers. As John has announced, our board has authorized us to recommence the repurchase program of our listed stock of up to $10 million. This decision is consistent with our overall capital management framework and complements our disciplined approach to the use of our capital, whether investing in the business or to deploy such funds in accretive M&A transactions, always aiming to deliver long-term value to our shareholders. In closing, the focus on the fourth quarter of 2015 will be more of the same, linking back to the four themes that I started off with. Firstly, a continued focus on operational execution. Second, further focus to recover NPLs that were written off. Thirdly, increasing profitability in managing positive jaws and driving increased net interest margins. And fourthly, executing and closing together with the integration of our announced and prospective acquisitions. With that, I'll hand you back to John.
Thanks, Irina. So I'd now like to take the opportunity on slide 16 to touch on our outlook and areas of focus for the remainder of the year. We have a positive outlook for Q4 based on the following: our intense focus on liability gathering and the traction we're getting in deposits, increasing capital-light revenues, delivering on our client acquisition strategy and cross-selling initiatives, executing our cost management initiatives, further asset recoveries, and improved asset quality. Our focus areas remain unchanged from the time of our H1 results. We have a multifaceted plan to enhance underlying operating performance. And as referenced in our RNS, we expect that the fourth quarter will exceed the performance registered in Q3. I'll now turn the call over to Brad Gibbs in relation to recent equity market activity in the sector.
Great. Thank you, John. As you probably have noted, with every passing quarter, we've tried to provide a bit of a provocative slide with respect to equity market valuations and conditions, and this quarter is no different. On page 17, you'll see that we present historical book value multiples for selected sub-Saharan African banks. And while the indices presented here do not represent true comparables for Atlas Mara, we thought that this chart provided some useful historical context in terms of some broader valuation themes. In particular, we would note that despite all of the structural strides made across sub-Saharan African banking sectors over the past 5 to 10 years, as well as the fundamental changes in the underlying economies, selected markets, in particular Nigeria, are trading at 2009-2010 levels. As the research firm Exotics recently noted in a report that hit our screens yesterday, although Nigeria is roughly a $500 billion economy, its publicly traded banking system is currently valued at just $15 billion, which is $3 billion less than Pakistan's banking sector, yet Pakistan's economy is just over half as large as Nigeria's. This is not to underplay the current level of macroeconomic uncertainty, believe me, we get it. But we do want to highlight that the pendulum of market perception has swung quite far from 12 months ago. Needless to say, from our perspective, it remains an opportune time to be acquiring as well as investing in sub-Saharan African banks. I will now turn the call back over to John.
Brad, thanks so much. So before opening the lines for questions, I want to reiterate how excited we are about Atlas Mara's prospects and how pleased we are with what we've achieved to date. And I'll just mention a couple of things. We're making demonstrable progress in enhancing our operations on the ground. We continue to make significant strides in executing M&A transactions to expand our platform, and we are effectively addressing concerns previously raised by investors. I'd also like to thank our management and employees for all of their hard work, and our co-founders, board, and regulators in the markets in which we operate for their support and counsel. Operator, you may now please open the line for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. To cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, that is star and one to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Lee Cooperman from Omega. Please ask your question.
Thank you and good morning. I'm in the midst of traveling, so I don't have all my numbers in front of me, and I apologize, but I was wondering, I'm not trying to pin you down, but you talk in terms of a 20% return on equity target and a 2% return on assets. Do you have a timetable associated with that? Question number one. Question number two, I just want to make sure I'm looking at the right numbers. According to the report, our reported equity at period end was $605.9 million. I divide that by 71 million shares, so we have a book value of $853. I think the release says $873, but either way, the 20% is applied to that current book value number, which of course will be different and we hope higher in 3 years' time. But what is your timetable for achieving that 20% ROE?
Lee, it's John here. So we've stated on that that 20% and the other things that we've put out is, the 2% ROA and the cost-income ratio and so forth. We've called that medium term, and I think we would define medium term as 3 to 5 years from the time that we put those targets out, which was last year.
Gotcha. Okay, 3 to 5 years. Okay, very good. And am I right in looking at the use your book value, 873, or the way I calculate 853 is the book value that we should be looking at?
Lee, Serena, yes. The book value of 873 is what you should be looking at. I'll look into your question. Thanks for that.
Okay, good. Thank you. Good luck. Appreciate the rundown.
Thank you, Lee.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's star and one to ask a question. We have no further questions at this time. Mr. Vitale, I'd like to hand back to you for any closing remarks.
Okay, operator, thank you. So thank you to everyone for joining today's call. If you have further questions at any time, please be in touch with me, Arena, or Brad. Thank you all for your support and for calling in today. Thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect.